Good morning. Welcome back. Thursday, July 9th, 2020. Hope everyone's having a great day. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. I am Tom. This podcast is sponsored by nobody. We don't need you. Damn, there's a fly in here. July 9th, peak adult flight of the fly and mosquito. Freaking crazy. Don't make me bring my fly sweater out, bitch. Did I ever tell you I had a pill problem?
So just how far down do you want to go? Well, we could talk it out over a cup of joe, and you could look deep into my eyes like I was a supermodel.
So yeah, 1999. I got sober March 31st, 1997. I think it was like April Fool's Day, or it would turn out to be April Fool's Day. I don't think I picked the day, it just picked me. 1997, I got sober. And cruise along fine, you know? Not a clue as to what the fuck I'm doing, but just hanging in there. Meeting every day, sponsor, doing the steps. Delirious, really. Not sure what the hell is going on. All new to me. And I was dealing with another issue. It was called ego. I hadn't realized I had one. Didn't know anything about that. Was at the gym. You know, it was a new me. The new Tom. No drinking. No drugging. You know, proud of myself. The new improved. I was still young, 1999. See, that was obviously 21 years ago. So I was 30. Much different. Working out in the gym. Working out with my boss. I was working on at a country club. Total douchebag, by the way. And I shouldn't have said that, but he was. He's a douchebag. I mean, you know, hey, we all got our issues, but he was being pretty douchey back in those days. But, you know, I wanted to be part of something. I wanted to feel like I was included. So they were working out at a gym, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, I'd been working out, like, think at the Y, but I was ready to go to the next level. These guys were all pretty big. You know, they'd powder up, slap themselves, and all this crazy shit. And I was like, yeah, cool. So I was working out. Deadlifting, and I deadlifted, I think, 3 or 4 plates. I'd done it before. I'd done it a couple times, and just like everything else in life, you do it once, and you just start losing a little bit of respect for it, and pop my back. Boom. I'll never forget the day. My kids asked me, do you have any regrets, Daddy? Yep, one. Deadlifting, and popped my back, dropped the weight. I was like, oh, wow, well, that hurt. It didn't even really hurt. It just was, like, twisted. It was popped. And I, you know, stretching and whatever the fuck you do when you blow out your disc. I mean, literally blew out my disc. Somehow got home. Put ice on it. I don't even remember. I mean, honestly, it was so long ago, it feels like. But I knew that it was bad. And I had to call my dad that night, and I'm like, I need to go to the hospital, but I can't go. I can't even drive. That's how bad my back was. And he came and got me. I crawled to the damn car, basically. Got me to the ER. And they gave me a pill. They gave me something. And it was so euphoric. It was like, I don't know what it was, if it was oxycodone, if it was just some amazing pain reliever that they gave me. But I would chase that high for years. And I was like laying back with my eyes closed and just, you know, you hear all the little stories, just like laying in just like a warm bath or whatever it was. But I was just cozy. And my dad would take me home, and that would be the beginning of an addiction to pills that would last. Well, I will put it this way. In September or in December, I'll celebrate 12 years, and it wasn't 12 years ago. It wasn't because I drank. And that's because of pills. Yep, 12 years ago was not my last drink. 14 years ago, though, was my last drink. 12 years ago was the last time I took pills. And it's kind of funny because the whole journey through my addiction and all this never started off with pills. I shouldn't even say that. It kind of started off with pills, now that I think about it. That redheaded, feather-haired kid that said, let's check your mom's cabinet for pills. Even though we didn't get high from anything in there, but it was definitely the little person welcoming me to addiction. And so when I popped my back, it started off, you know, it's weird. It was all justified. I really had hurt my back. There was no freaking doubt about that. I mean, it was hurting. And I had to take the pills. It was a pain pill, it was an anti-inflammatory, and it was a muscle relaxer. It was three pills that I would get, and it was bad. But what I started doing, you know, I would take these pills, I would get the prescription, and kind of go through the two-week ordeal of kind of getting my back, kind of, you know, with physical therapy. The initial injury was really, it took a while to get kind of back to normal. And then but this, you know, every few months it would flare up and I'd have to call the doctor and they would call in a prescription of Percocet or Vicodin or some shit. Never as good as that night in the hospital. You know, I always, and that would be a lot of my addiction, you know, let's do what we did that night. Let's reenact that fun that we had. And I would kind of be chasing that high that I got that one night in the ER. And they would give me Percocet and it would say take one, I would take three. But it was all because of my back pain. I mean, I literally had back pain. And anybody that tells me they have back pain and they have to, you know, deal with it through, you know, pain pills, I'm always going, I'm not calling anybody out on anything, but I know what I've gone through. And so every few 3 or 4 months, I would have this flare up and I'd have to call it in. And but over the years, because this is in 99, over those 10 years, I would take pills for back pain. But, you know, it always said take one. I would always take three. I always up the dosage. All under that umbrella of that was justified because it was an injury. And, but I tell you what, man, I would get really fucking, I'd work the system, you know, I'd call it in or it was just a nightmare. And, finally in the end, I was taking pills and my buddy Matt said, you know, you're basically just getting drunk. I mean, it's just getting drunk on pills. And my life had spiraled down, and oh, just what a nightmare. And then finally, I was taking them pills again for my back. And I said something, I don't know, I did something that was so stupid. I was so embarrassed by my behavior that I quit. And I remember I called Matt, and he's like, you need to change your sobriety date. And this was 2 years after I had changed my sobriety date from my drinking. And the funny thing is, in the first 5 years before I drank, I was taking pills. I got sober in 97. I hurt my back in 99. I was sober 5 years. So those weren't even really legitimately 5 years of sobriety. That's where ego and shit comes in, right? Oh, we don't want to mention that. That would change your sobriety date. A lot of lessons to be learned in that stuff. But I was 2 years, I'd gotten sober 14 years ago. I'd put down everything, supposedly. But I was having these back flare-ups. And in my defense, the pills told me to do it. I knew better. They just kept telling me, back really hurts, man. And my back really hurt. My back hurts right now. But 12 years ago, so I'd been sober 2 years, and Matt goes, you need to change your sobriety date. If you really want to be sober, man, you need to change your sobriety date. And I could have easily just been like, hey, let's not talk about that. You know, because I'm 2 years, 2 years. Can you imagine 2 years and changing your sobriety date again? And I think that was the point where I just said, I give up. This ain't about time. This isn't about coins. This is about getting honest. Surrendering to this nightmare of a disease that I have. And that day, I put down those pills. I changed my sobriety date. I was forthcoming with all information. I shared everything. And my back stopped hurting. I mean, it hurts. Like I said, it hurts right now. My back hurts right now. But it doesn't hurt so much that I need a pain pill. But back in those days, man, those pain pills would tell me, dude, your back hurts. You better take a pain pill. It's always something. So today, I don't take anything. I take some Aleve if I have to, or an Advil. It will come back. It will be an issue. It may be more pain pills one day. I don't know. But for today, I'm good. I don't need any. And I'm very grateful for that. What else is going on? Did I introduce? I did say all the introduction. This is the In Too Deep. No, I'm sorry about last night. So, funny little story. My kids went, my neighbor called, asked me, they said their daughter wants to go on a bike ride. Asked me if my son was available. And I was like, of course, get up, David. He's laying in bed, taking a nap or something, you know. Get up. The neighbor wants to go for a bike ride. Take your brother with you. And they're like, oh, okay, all right, yeah. So they get up. It's like 8 o'clock at night in the evening. And they take off on their bikes. They're going to supposedly go around the neighborhood. So 9 o'clock shows up. They're nowhere to be found. I'm freaking out. I end up finding them. I mean, it was, I won't tell you, the whole story is crazy. I'm not going to get into the whole story. But the point of the story was is that you know, my son's 14. The neighbor, which is a young girl, who's 13. She's like, let's ride our bikes to Rehoboth. And they're like, no, we can't do that. That's too far. And she's like, or you can just go home and not do anything and be bored. And I go, I said, welcome to having your first experience of getting in trouble because of a girl. I said, that would be the story of my life. I mean, how many times have I gotten myself into a predicament because of some girl? And it was funny. Yeah. So fast forward to today or last night, my phone rings. A little voice, Mr. Tom. I'm like, yeah. I just wanted to say I'm sorry about last night. And I'm like, no problem. That's funny. I have a podcast called that. Now, that was my, it's funny, I've always said that was my first introduction to addiction was the female species. You know, they make you feel taller, run faster, do shit you wouldn't have done in the past, do shit you wouldn't do in the present. And that's kind of what happened to my kids. You know, and that's, and I can't blame her. You know, we're all accountable for what we do, but, you know, she had that side pony, that lip gloss, you know. It's a first introduction to addiction, man. You do something that you probably shouldn't do for some other thing. And that's what they got caught up in. And my son tells me, I told her, I said, I think this is the wrong step. And sure enough, they're out in the pitch black in the middle of the night. Not in the middle of the night, it's about 9:30. And they still weren't home. I'm like, something's wrong. You know, and that's weird, man. If you have kids and you, you know, you, I could sit there and tell you 100 reasons why we are like we are today. You know, it's, you know, the fear and CNN and all this bullshit. We don't let our kids do it. When I was a kid, we used to stay out till the sun went down. And, you know, and today we're so paranoid. So when you try to give those moments where you let your kids go out and do something, you know, kind of like everyone goes, ooh, you really? They're out there? And then they don't come home. You're like, Jesus Christ, how many? Nobody gets kidnapped in this town. And my two kids are going to be the first two. Oh, my God. And so it was just, it was really freaky. And I'm looking for them. And I'm in my car. And I said, something's up. You know, we live by this trail that goes down to the beach. I'm like, something's up. But whatever's going on, it, that trail has something to do with it. So I drove my car home and jumped on my bike. And my daughter's like, Daddy. I'm like, yes, take this flashlight. I'm like, okay. So I jump on my bike with this flashlight and I'm headed down to this trail. It's pitch black. I mean, dark as night. And then out of the darkness, here comes my one son, Sam. I'm like, Sam, Daddy. You know, and this is a 9-year-old that's driving down, has been riding down probably a mile of woods, pitch black trail. I mean, he's freaking out. And they all finally come in, and I'm talking to the boys, and the girl's like, all right, toodaloo, and just, like, rides off into the darkness like a typical kid, leaving my two boys to explain why they are out at 9:30 at night on the trail in the blackness on their bicycles. And, you know, it was really, you know, it was interesting. I know what I learned definitely is that my kids are sheltered here in this little town that we live in. You know, this girl's like, do you guys sneak out at night and go to parties? What's the worst thing you've ever done? Have you ever run from the police? And my kid's like, what are you talking about? I mean, my kids are, you know, they're not sneaky. They don't even know what a party is. They're definitely not sneaking out. And they're definitely not running from the cops. But this girl's from Virginia, you know, up in D.C., you know, the big life, big fast times, the fast city life. And we're here in the country, and we're not experiencing that. So it was weird. It was like a flashback to me being 13. I'll never forget Andrea Wine. Girl from across the street. I was like 12. She was probably 15, 16. She was driving, so she was 15. Just, you know, like a supermodel in my eyes. I was just a kid. And I used to go over to her house and we'd listen to records and I would just hang out. And she was just so pretty. And I just, you know, would do anything she said. And I remember we would sneak her car out. Her parents would be out of town, she would take like the Mustang out and we would drive around in it. And, you know, I remember she wanted to, you want to try clove cigarettes? I started smoking clove cigarettes because of her. I remember she picked me up from school. She had cigarettes. We were smoking them. And we went to this place called Miller's Outpost. This one, I lived in Albuquerque. So we went to this place called Miller's Outpost. I had been smoking this clove like it was a joint. I guess I must have been kind of flirting around with messing around with marijuana or something. But I remember toking the clove, holding it in, and then going to Miller's Outpost, which was a retail store, and throwing up. Excuse me, for God's sakes. Yeah, I barfed in the ashtray at Miller's Outpost because I overdid it on cloves. But it was all because of her. She got me in a predicament. Let's do this. And, yeah, my kids got a little dose of that. So she called, I'm sorry, which I thought was cool. Her dad knew I was pissed. You know, we're responsible for what we do, but it doesn't help, you know, when you get a little girl with a side pony and lip gloss going, come on, boys, forget what your parents say. Let's hit the town.
Oh,
Yeah, well, anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day. You know, I just wanted to talk a little bit about my pill issue. You know, I'm a multifaceted addict. I'm addicted to everything. And, you know, that was a big step for me. You know, I would do anything that if anybody, whatever anybody had, I would do it. You know, alcohol is what brought me finally to my knees, but, you know, that wasn't my only gig. I mean, I was a big speed addict when I was out in California. I mean, that's all we did. We didn't really even drink at all. I look back at my timeline of life and my substances and my addiction and my use, and it's always been, it's always included me. It's always included a substance, and it's always included a high amount of it. So whether it was a high amount of speed back in the day, a higher amount of weed, or in the end it was a high amount of drinking, pills, it was always those three things, me, the substance, and the amount. And the one that brought me to my knees was alcohol, but that was only because I couldn't get my hands on anything else, you know? I wasn't into cocaine, but if I drank enough, I would definitely smoke crack. Hell yeah, I would get a few drinks into me, and if I could get my hands on anything, I would do it. As long as it wasn't gonna make me throw up. Usually, like, I couldn't smoke pot after I got really drunk; I'd probably puke. Smoke crack? Hell yeah! And it's funny because I hate, you know, if anybody's experienced crack, we don't like saying, oh, like, it's a lower. Oh no, not crack. But shit, when we were out in San Diego, we free-based coke all the time. My buddy Robbie mixed it up, cooked it up, we smoked it. But it was back then it was free-base. But when I came out to California, it was now crack. I mean, from California, it became crack. And I had a little bit more trouble saying that. Like, oh, I don't do crack. Fuck yeah, I did. Free-base, crack, whatever. I would get drunk and I would start searching. And it was a nightmare. There's nothing worse than being drunk on coke, up all night, waking up in the morning, and feeling that shame and guilt. And that was what happened that final night. Went out, was partying, drinking, snorting coke, smoking weed, and I was standing on that patio in the middle of the night, fucking just out of my mind. Knowing that I had to meet my ex-wife and pick up my son to take him to go shopping up in Dover for his birthday. And that's what would lead me to the phone call to Marvin Lipscomb, having him come up and get me to Colonial House up in York, PA, and spending 9 days there and getting me back on track, sort of. I mean, getting me off the shit is really what it was. But it was just a mess. And, you know, I'm so grateful for people like Marvin to come up and get me, and but see, that would be 14 years ago. That would be my last drink. And then 2 years later, I'd finally have to change my sobriety date because of the pills. And today now I'm sober from everything except for guacamole. But listen, I hope everyone's having a great day. Enjoy. Peace. I keep on moving. right, everyone. Have a great day. Take care today. Hope you didn't have to say sorry today. Talk to you tomorrow. Peace.